بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to another chapter of the book, which deals with the forbidden types of transactions. And the first hadith here is the hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the selling of al-munabadha. And we will explain this inshallah. The selling of al-munabadha. And that is to sell one's garment by casting it to the buyer, not allowing him to examine or see it. Similarly, he forbade the selling by mulamasah. And al-mulamasah is to buy a garment, for example, by merely touching it without looking at it. So we have two types of forbidden transactions. One of them is al-munabadha, and it's originated from the Arabic word nabadha. And to throw something, it's called a nab, something that he threw it. And this kind of transaction was found before Islam. What would it be? You'll find people on the street. Usually people sell on the street. And those who go to the streets, it's not like nowadays supermarkets and malls and fancy places. The real market is where you go and you have trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and say Bismillah. Maybe I will gain money, maybe I will lose money. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, may Allah be pleased with him. You know the companion, one of the 10 heavenly bound. Went to Medina, migrated from Mecca to Medina. How much did he have? Nothing. Sa'd ibn Rabi', may Allah be pleased with him, when the Prophet made them brothers, told him, half of my money is yours. I'm the richest man in Medina. If I were in his place, I would say, thank you, Jazakallah khair. Abdul Rahman did not do this. What did he do? May Allah bless your money. Show me the market. So he went to the market from scratch, buying on credit. Buying from this man, going to this man and selling, making a profit, then going again and again and then paying his credit. Now he is dealing on his own capital. And just before you know it, he is one of the richest men in Medina. Dealing in riba? No. Dealing in haram, selling intoxicants, everything is halal. If you work halal with Allah Azza wa Jal, if you're truthful and you do not conceal the defects, Allah will bless, as in the previous hadith. Allah will bless your transactions. So the markets were like this. You see something, you buy it and you sell it to someone else. Maybe you make profit, maybe you lose a little bit, you gain a little bit. It's all in the hands of Allah. Therefore, a lot of the people may feel inclined to go and make money and gamble. And part of the gamble was this type of sales. You go to a man with lots of clothes and he says, listen, you see? He says, wow, nice silk. This is cotton. This is polyester. This is very nice material. He says, listen, I will throw something to you. But if you touch it, this is mulamasa. If you touch it, then it's yours. If you agree on buying it for 10 euros, whatever I throw to you, this is yours, once you agree. So al-munabadha is to agree to whatever he's going to throw to you of a specific price. Do you know what he's going to throw to you? No. I don't know if he's going to throw to me a piece of cloth or a piece of cannabis or a piece of an old shoe that is worth nothing. But we agreed. And this is haram. Why? Because it is ambiguous. There is what's known in Arabic, al-gharar. Al-gharar means that you will be fooled. Maybe you win, maybe you lose. And that is why the same concept of gambling, the same concept of lottery. Do you have lottery here? You buy one ticket for 10 rupees. You may become the slum dog millionaire. Wow! I'm rich. And you may keep on buying and losing, buying and losing. He said, Sheikh, I agree. No problem. He said, yes, agreement is not approval of that this is halal. So by agreeing to pay so much when he throws something to you, this is an invalid transaction. It's void, even if you both agree. Mulamasa is the same, but in this case, you just simply put your hand on something. The minute you touch it, it's yours. And sometimes you go into shops and they say, do not touch. If you touch, khalas. This is a consent that you'll buy it. So this is not permissible in Islam, because also touching it can be done in at night. Maybe he tells you, go to this showroom, no lights, you just touch. And you think, oh, this is very soft. It must be silk. Ah, if I buy it for 10 euros, that's I'm making a profit. And you buy it, you come out, you find that it has stains that cannot be removed, or it's torn, or there is a defect that makes it cost nothing. And this kind of transaction is to remove the ambiguity. There are types of transactions that are also haram. It's known in Islam as the throwing of the stone. So it's the same concept. A lot of things, you throw the stone, and whatever the stone hits and falls on, I'll give it to you for $10. Okay, and you throw it. This is not permissible. This is haram. Similarly, in some fun fairs, you know the fun fairs? You go and there is a machine. You pay, for example, 5-10 rupees, and you play with the machine. If you catch a doll, this is yours. Maybe you catch something that is worth 1 rupee. Maybe you catch something that is worth 100 rupees. It is called gambling. This is gharar. Ambiguity is in there. It's not permissible. And you go on and on in this type of buying what is not identified. If you remember the 7 conditions for the transaction to be correct, one of them is that you see it or at least can describe it. Now here it is something that is unknown. When I sell you what's in the belly of a pregnant sheep, it can be twins, it can be dead, it can be male, it can be female. Now this is not certain, you don't have the certainty in it, and therefore such a transaction would not be acceptable. Now, what about if we have something that is not present? A lot of you ask about this question. What about if I'm buying something that is not present in the office or in the shop or in the factory? This depends. If I'm buying something that is manufactured and found somewhere else and the seller is not owning it, this is not permissible. You cannot sell something you do not own. So I cannot come to you and tell you, I wish I can buy a red Mazda, model of 1995, for example. And he said, yeah, I can sell it to you for 10,000. He said, okay, I'll buy it. And you know, and I know that our neighbor has a car and he wants to sell it. This kind of selling is not permissible because you're selling something you do not own. So if this is the case, this is forbidden. But if you're selling something in the future that is to be manufactured, you're going to manufacture it or you're going to import it and you know the price of it. So you're selling it in the future, not now. You're getting the money and I will get you the thing. This is permissible, providing that it can be thoroughly and specifically described. So you have to exactly say, I will sell you 10 kilograms of dates of this maker, of this type, and I will deliver it on this specific date. Everything has to be mentioned and specified, not generally speaking, yes, I will sell you 10 kilograms of dates. What kind of dates? Maybe you're thinking of the best kind and I'm thinking of the lowest kind. This is not permissible. It has to be described in a very thorough manner. And all of these transactions, you will find that Allah forbade these transactions, either because there is ambiguity in it, no specification, or because there is dhulm, there is transgression, or because there is riba, usury. And we will come to inshallah to describe usury and the other types in detail. These are the three reasons why usually transactions are forbidden. If you buy something that you may be fooled in, this is haram. If I deliberately transgress and do something that is wrong to make you buy something or to fool you into buying something, this is wrong. And if I get an increase over what is known as riba, etc., and the types of riba, this again is not permissible. Now, why would the Prophet ﷺ forbid such transactions? If you go back to the ayah where Allah Azza wa Jal forbids intoxications, gambling, Allah tells us that Allah made them forbidden because shaitan wants to throw the enmity in your hearts against one another and wants to deflect you or redirect you away from remembering Allah and from salah. Allah Azza wa Jal forbade intoxications and forbade gambling. Now, does gambling have benefits to people? Definitely it has. Allah mentioned in the Quran, and they ask you about intoxications and gambling, say that there is benefit in them and a lot of harm, and the harm overweighs the benefits. Gambling, there are lots of benefits in gambling. If when you win, there is million of benefits. So there are benefits in it, yet the haram far exceeds the benefit, and that is why Allah prohibited that altogether. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.